Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
Today we're going to begin looking at our Easter series, and so it'll take us through the week, Passion Week, all the way to Resurrection Morning on Easter. And so today we are beginning with Palm Sunday. Now today is not Palm Sunday, but our text is beginning at Palm Sunday. So let's begin with verse 1, and we'll go through verse 10. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethany, or Bethphage, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." I wonder how many recognize that from that scripture. I don't think very many. Verse 6. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, now watch this, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Powerful verses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And God, we pray this morning that we would see and understand the significance of this week, and how that this week applies to us today. And Lord, we thank you that you came into human history, to our lostness, and that you entered this world, and that you came to Zion with healing in your wings. You came, and you came to die for the ugliness of our sin, of our personal sin. Our personal sin had to be atoned for, just as the sin of the world. Lord, you atoned, and we're thankful. And we're here today to celebrate that. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of the message today is "Who is this?" And the title of the Easter series is "King of Glory." And that's what Passion Week is all about. And so today is the triumphant entry. It's when Jesus fulfills Zechariah 9, and he comes riding on the foal of that donkey into Jerusalem, and it's been termed and titled for many reasons the triumphal entry. It reminds me of yesterday. I came in and I said, "Teresa, do you want to go with me to run some errands?" So she said, "Sure." So she jumped in the truck and we were out running errands, and we get back to the house and my phone had rung, so I was still out there, and Teresa comes back out and says, "Get in my car." And I'm like, "Okay, I've got to mind my wife." So I get in her car in the driver's seat, and I said, "Where are we going?" She said, "It doesn't matter. We're just going anywhere, because Caitlin and Madeline kicked me right back out because they said they're cleaning the house for us." And I'm like, "Let's go." And so we leave, and we're gone for a good while. And when we get back later in the evening, I said it to myself, it feels like the triumphal entry. And we are parental royalty tonight, and so we go in the house, and I mean the house is clean, and Caitlin and Madeline have cooked dinner. In fact, we've got lunch already prepared when we get home today, and they have cleaned our house spick and span. And I mean, it was like royalty when we came in the house. I didn't want to mess up anything because they did such a good job. I am so thankful for my kids. And so looking at your outline this morning, the first thing that I want you to see is that Jesus is the triumphant king. Now this is important. He says, now when they drew near Jerusalem, Now, you've got to understand that word they. You can almost circle that word they. Now, we pick up who the they are in the other Gospels. And all the other Gospels talk about this same entry of Jesus. Passion Week is important to all four Gospels. And so when we go to the book of John, we see something that is very significant. Because in the book of John, if you remember, in John chapter 11, what happened? That's where Lazarus was resurrected from the grave. But when you get to John chapter 12, now you see that these followers that had seen the great miracle of the resurrection from the dead in Lazarus are now following Jesus Christ. Some are following Jesus because they have believed for the first time. Some are following Jesus because they're curious about what took place, and they just want to see Lazarus, and they want to see what has took place. So a crowd is beginning to gather, but what they did not understand, even the disciples at this moment, and we know that from Matthew chapter 20, but even from this moment, they still hadn't figured out that Scripture is being literally fulfilled in their presence like you've never seen in your life. So here comes this crowd. Passover. Over 2 million people are gathered in Jerusalem. I mean, every side of every hill, everywhere is crawling with pilgrims coming to Jerusalem for Passover. Here's Jesus. All the way from Exodus, whenever Israel had been delivered out of Egypt, they had rehearsed this moment. This moment's been rehearsed for hundreds and hundreds of years every time they brought their sacrifices into the temple. It's been rehearsed. It's been prophesied from way back that Jesus was going to come, the Messiah would come. And Isaiah 53 is about to be fulfilled. Psalms 22 is about to be fulfilled. And the hallelujah hymns that they had sang in the Psalms is about to be fulfilled. The light of the world is about to be fulfilled in this 1 week's time. It's powerful. And so here comes Jesus, different than any other time that he had entered into Jerusalem. Think of how many times in his ministry that he had gone into Jerusalem. He had gone into Jerusalem very humble, in a very small way, sometimes with multitudes following him, sometimes not. But this day is different. This day, the crowd is gathering. This day, there's starting to be rumors that he's going to make himself king. And here's what happened. He's bringing a kingdom all right now, but he's bringing a kingdom to our hearts. Because you see, they had forgotten. They thought that their biggest enemy was Rome. Their greatest enemy was the devil. Your greatest enemy is the devil. That's my greatest enemy. What they didn't realize is that Satan had a chokehold on them. And that their sin was ugly. And that their sin was separating them from God. And Jesus is coming into town, but he's bringing a new kingdom. And he is fixing to take care of the works of the devil. And by the end of the week, he's going to make a mockery of Satan. So here comes Jesus, and we pick up from another gospel. You know what happens when he's coming into town in this triumphal entry? Another gospel tells us that he wept over Jerusalem. He said, if you had known your day, this day of your visitation. I tell you, with each and every single one of us and everybody that's in this world, God loves you. And he loves them. And God has a day of visitation that he comes and he visits our hearts. And you better not harden your heart as they did in the rebellion. Because when we harden our heart with all of the knowledge we have of the resurrection, with all of the preaching that we hear and all of the Bibles that are out there and available to us today, when the Holy Spirit comes and he triumphs into our heart, the triumphant entry, and he opens our eyes to understand who he is. And he begins to woo us. And he begins to draw us unto himself. We better respond to his day of visitation. Because I want to tell you, our sin is ugly. It's ugly. And so Jesus is coming into town, and look at what happens. Verse 2. Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them, that means both of them, and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. Now how those arrangements were made, I have no earthly idea. But I know it happened just as the Bible said, because the Bible says, and it happened just as he had told them. So Jesus had made these arrangements, or he worked a miracle in the process of these arrangements. Either way, it's no big deal for Jesus. Now, the scribes and the chief priests that are hollering the loudest and conspiring to have Jesus crucified should have recognized this, especially the scribes. The scribes had penned these words delicately many times about this foal of this donkey. And so Jesus says, you know what? I'm coming into Jerusalem as the lamb prepared for the slaughter. I'm coming into Jerusalem this time in fulfillment of all of these scriptures. You say, why was a donkey used, and why was it a foal of a donkey? The foal of a donkey had never been used for work. The foal of a donkey had never been ridden. And donkeys were like cars back then. I mean, they were like Nissan Rogues and Chevrolet 1500s. I mean, these things are everywhere. Even today, I noticed when we were in Israel that you can see people still use donkeys. There's a lot of rock hills. There's a lot of trails. It's rough terrain. And so they have cars, naturally. But off in the farmlands and where the farmers are, they still use camels. They still use donkeys. The donkey couldn't have been ridden. You know why? Do you remember the sacredness of the red heifer? He says, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect, one more additional thing, and on which a yoke has never come. Why was that red heifer not to have a yoke on it? If it had a yoke on it, it was used for work. It was because it was too sacred for the Lord's use to have been used by man for work. This colt that Jesus rides in on is sacred. It's been set aside because the one in whom sits on the foal of that donkey is sacred. The lamb, the red heifer, without spot or blemish, is riding into Jerusalem, sitting on that foal. That sacredness of that foal is the sacred and holy Jesus Christ coming into town. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7 teaches us that whenever they got the Ark of the Covenant, that they had to have two cows, two milk cows, that had never been yoked, never been used. Why? Because the ark was too holy, and so the cows had to be set aside for a sacred service. The cart on which the ark sat had to be built brand new because it was a sacred cart to haul the Ark of the Covenant. Jesus Christ comes into town, and he is sacred. And he is coming because of the ugliness of our sin. And they're singing Hosanna to the Lord. And they're praising him. And they're throwing their clothes on the road. And they're throwing palm branches out there. And they're bringing him in as the anointing of a king. That's what that's about. They're trying to anoint him king today. But they wanted an earthly king right then. They needed somebody for battle. They're thinking, listen, this guy can turn water into wine. This guy can walk on water. This guy can raise the dead. This guy can do anything. He can still storms. And it should have told them that he is the Messiah. But instead, they're thinking, look what he could do for us in battle. If he can do all that, why, he'll just resurrect the soldiers. He's the triumphant king. I think you get the picture there. And he has a day of visitation for each one of us. He wept over Jerusalem. By the next day, which is Monday, by the way, he's driving the money changers out of the temple. Now, let me share something with you here because I may not catch it next week. You say, what was so significant about Jesus going into that temple and running out the money changers and all the other things? I want you to look at it even a little bit deeper than the surface. It's because it's exactly why he rides into your heart, to kick out the works of the devil. You see, Jesus comes into our life to clean our temple. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us through Jesus Christ. And whenever we sin, he's like, I got to get that out of there. That's what the new nature does. That's what the work of the Holy Spirit does. That's what we call in terms sanctification. He says, I'm coming in to sanctify you and to set you apart and clean your house up. Consider this. Whenever that red heifer without blemish was killed and sacrificed on the altar on that particular day during the Passover, you know what's interesting? All of his ashes, he was to be completely consumed. I mean, every bit of that heifer is completely consumed. And then they add hyssop. that crimson had to be added to the ashes while it's burning. While that heifer's burning, they added this juniper tree oil, basically, this cedar and this hyssop, and they added scarlet. The scarlet, in the word used, tola, it's that worm. Remember the crimson worm Jesus identified himself with. It was added to it. And then that leftover remaining substance was to be used for a purification water. And in that, it had the ability to purify and to cleanse and to heal and do all kinds of things because it just had that purification element to it because of the oils and all the other things that was added. And the picture there was is that Jesus, when he dies on the cross for our sins, listen, we're going to mess up again after we've accepted him as our Savior. And he comes into our heart, but the tola'ath worm has been added to your cleansing agent. That's the blood of Jesus that keeps you forgiven. But there's been some hyssop and there's been some oils that have been added. That's the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the cleansing agent of the Holy Spirit. By his stripes you have been healed. And every time the disease of sin comes and attacks our heart and we fall for it and we fall for its allurements and we sin against God, he says, get the soap out that you've got in Jesus Christ and clean back up. Is that good or what? That's the picture of what that means. But then secondly, he is the praiseworthy king. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, you got to read all of that area, but that kind of gives you the nutshell of the text. The Bible says that Judah and Jerusalem was coming up against a battle, and they were afraid, and they felt in their heart, it's impossible that we can win this battle. And the Lord says, listen, that battle is not yours, but mine. They're got to defeat three different enemies right here, or three enemies that are coalitioned together, Moab and Ammon and another one, that have come after Jerusalem, come after Judah. And the Lord said, the battle's mine, it's not yours. Now, he is the praiseworthy king. And they're praising Jesus when he comes into Jerusalem. But by the end of the week, they're saying, crucify him. You see, their praise had the wrong motivation. The praise when Jesus is coming into, no, I don't think with everybody. I think there's some that are truly praising Jesus. There's always a remnant. There's some that are saying, Hosanna, and they're getting it. People of the likes of Simeon and Anna that had that type spirit. Maybe some of the disciples. Not understanding it fully, not understanding the cross is coming, even though Jesus had told them in Matthew chapter 20 that I'm going to die and in 3 days I'm going to rise again, and they still didn't get it. But the Bible says after the resurrection, they remembered all these things that Jesus had said unto them. Let me tell you what happens when we're praising him from the work that Jesus did for us. The devil shudders. If you want to see the devil run out of your life as fast as he can run, you turn your hearts back to the Lord in praise, and you choose, don't wait for the emotion, choose to praise Jesus Christ. Choose to sing to the Lord, and you watch what happens in your life. You know why? There is a natural sanctification cleansing process that takes place when we're praising God. And when Satan comes and he's attacking you and he's tempting you, you get aside somewhere and you begin to praise the Lord from your heart, or you praise the Lord in song, or you praise the Lord in prayer, and you watch. Satan shudders when we praise the Lord. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, that's exactly what happened. The Lord says, you praise me. And so they went out and they gathered up the Levites and they said, sing praises to the Lord. And they began to praise the Lord, and they never had to raise a sword in battle because the Lord turned the enemy against each other and they destroyed each other. You see, that's how God works. God can create a new thing because he's God. He is the praiseworthy king. Hosanna means save now. It was a spontaneous occurring, but it was incredibly powerful if they had really understood it. They'd been taught that consistently in Psalms 118:25. Whenever they would have their temple services at Passover, they would sing the hallelujah hymns. Psalms 118:25, one of the hallelujah hymns. And they had been taught this year after year after year, that Hosanna to the King. Save now! Save now! That's what it means. But it was put in there by the Spirit of God, more than just saving national Israel. It was put in there by the Spirit of God to save. I'm coming to save you from the power of sin. And it'll be worldwide. It was even greater than their interpretation. Even greater. You and I are in that Because we've been grafted in, according to Romans 9, 10, and 11. We've been grafted in. And the promise has now come to the Gentiles. I'm a Gentile, and I'm a born-again Gentile. And I sing praise to the Lord. I praise Him. That song we sing, and I exalt thee, I can remember one time, this is a long time ago, we were working in a place, and the singers downstairs were practicing, and I was doing some plumbing work upstairs. And they began to practice for a concert they were going to do, and they were singing, I exalt thee. I was a brand new Christian. I'd never heard that song before. I was so moved. I was so affected by the song. I literally had to step in a closet. Not, yes, I looked like an idiot. And I was praising the Lord in a dark closet. I'm glad nobody opened the door on that closet. Because I exalt thee, O Lord. Look what He's done for us. Look how sorry we are. He's the praiseworthy King. He's the Tolaoth worm. Such a worm as I. He was the worm that literally bled the scarlet blood. He is praiseworthy because what He has done. Psalms chapter 22, verse 3, you might make a note of that as well, because I want you to catch what it means when they're singing, Hosanna to the Lord, save now. But He is also the glorious King. Look at in Matthew, verse 9. He says, then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out. Now, imagine how big these multitudes are. Saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Can't tell you how important this is. The save now. The save now of Jesus came in the lineage of David in an earthly sense. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Bible says God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that through him the world might be saved. He is coming literally in the name of God, in the name of the Lord. And he is Hosanna in the highest. Verse 10, and when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Some knew him as Jesus from Nazareth that had done some miracles, and maybe they've heard some things. But the city, the key is the city. You want to underline that. You want to circle that or you'll get confused right here. And when he had come into Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, that's where the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the people of the city, the most religious, the most elite of the day, are dwelling in the city. And all the city was moved, saying, who is this? They should have known exactly who it was. Isn't it a shame that the city, Israel itself, didn't recognize their king? Now watch this, verse 11. So the multitude said, they answered their question. This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. The multitudes had to answer the question. He was more than a prophet, though. He was the high priest. He was the king. He is the Savior. But here's what you don't want to forget. When Jesus is riding into town today, he's riding into town as the capital L Lamb. He's our sacred Lamb, praiseworthy Lamb. Triumphant over sin, triumphant entry, triumphant over sin Lamb. He is the red heifer headed to the altar. He is the Tolaoth worm. He is the scarlet. He is all of these things. And so that makes him our glorious king. Now, what is a glorious king? A glorious king is someone or a king by which is due glory and praise. Now, there's a lot of kings, earthly kings, that are not due any praise. But Jesus is a king that has a kingdom, that has a kingdom that has a transcendent glory. His glory transcends all other kingdoms of this world. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And there will be a day that we will each and all have to bow a knee to him. And when I bow a knee and when you bow a knee, our prayer is that you bow a knee in retrospect looking back at your salvation. Not bowing a knee and saying, I wish I had have accepted you in the day of your visitation. And the Lord will remind you when the books are opened and the works are revealed. And he'll say, here is every day I visited your heart. remember this day I visited your heart. Remember this day I visited your heart. But you wanted your sin and you refused me. And you can go back. If you want to read something that'll scare you and make you worship Jesus, it'll do it. Go back to Numbers chapter 16 and read all of Numbers 16. Your heart will be racing by the time you're done, and you'll be thanking Jesus that you know him. Because in Numbers 16, the sons of Korah, remember the families that were swallowed up by the earth, by the Lord. Remember the fire came down and consumed them. You see, that's why the red heifer had to be completely, and the sacrifice had to be consumed by fire. Because sin is that bad. Maybe from our eyes it doesn't look too bad, but from the eyes of God, sin is bad. And so he burns up the sacrifice all the way down to the ashes. It has to be 100% consumed. And when we get back there, those rebellious, the people of renown that were rebelling, Aaron and Moses. If Moses hadn't stepped in by the end of chapter 16 and going into chapter 17 and stopped the plague, there would not have been a congregation of Israel. It is such an emergency, by the time they get it stopped, 14,700 people had died, plus the sons of Korah, plus the ones that died from the fire coming out of heaven. All that quick, the Lord was so angry at their rebellion. And Moses steps up and he falls on his face before the Lord. Don't consume them. And he hollers out. It is a time of action. He says, Aaron, get the incense stick. Go light it. Get the ointment on it. And carry it in there and stand between the people and the plague. And Aaron is running, the Bible says. And he runs into the temple with his incense. And he stands between the plague and those that are dying. He is the representation of the high priest. And God stops the plague. Listen, that plague is hitting so fast in a moment of time, they're falling out like this. People are just, and they're just going over. Why? Because the plague is coming quickly, quickly. And Aaron had to stop it. Had Jesus Christ not rode into that town and got on that cross, the plague would consume every one of us for all generations. But Jesus Christ rode in there, and he is the King of glory according to Psalms 24. And in Psalms 24, they say, who is this? And he is the King of glory. Had he not stopped that plague, we'd have no hope for all eternity. And we give him praise. He is our triumphant King, and he is worthy of all of the glory that we can give him. Aren't you glad you know Jesus as your Savior?
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.